Right after the army, every day with my chavrusa, we would go through the Masechet. But before I went to the next part of the Gemara, we would have to go by heart to the Mishnah. And then the next day, we'd quickly review Mishnah Gemara, and then we go to the next part. And to this day, the only Gemara that I really know well and remember well is that one. Because we did review probably over 100 times. And the most amazing thing is that we would always have chidushim, always new ideas, new questions. So it's always a good idea if we have time, especially in a small little group like this. Quick review, what we saw so far real quick, and then we'll onward. Okay, so the first meeting with Mikhail Kamocha about Hashem's, how much he bears, even though we punish, we sin against him, he still generates us, he still gives us life. He's still kind to us, even though we're not so kind to him, but when we sin, and then we're supposed to emulate that, that even when people aren't so nice to us, we can still be kind back to them. We went to the second Mida, Nosei Avon, which means that God bears a sin. In other words, the Talmud Devar explained, every sin we do creates an angel, an evil energy of an angel, and God sustains the angel. He doesn't let it. He protects you from the angel and all the negativity he wants to do. So it's the Mida of even when someone does something wrong, to still kind of clean up after him and protect them out of love, because we hope they'll do tshuva and we look forward to a better future. We don't focus on the past. That was the second Mida. The third Mida we talked about, V'over al Pesha, God removes iniquity, which means that God forgives us for our sins. He accepts our tshuva. He allows us to do tshuva. And we focus on the amazingness of tshuva. And finally, the fourth Mida, which we did half of last time, L'she'irit nachlato, that God, we are the remnant of his inheritance, which means that we are the family of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And he gave many mashals, where like his soulmate, like Yashir HaShirim, where like the mother, the sister, the twin, many different ways, but one way or the other, we're definitely family with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Hashem has mercy upon us, even when we don't deserve it. And as you're getting the pattern, hopefully by now, how do we switch that and implement that into our own lives? Even when someone is not so nice to us, we have to remember that they're family. How are they family? We're all the children of Hashem, right? We're all the children of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the same way I'll have mercy on my little Elishi, even if he's not nice, and he cries in the middle of the night, so too, I have to have mercy and remind myself, this guy who did me wrong, he's not my enemy. He's like my family. He's my brother. And I have to try to my best to reframe and have mercy in that type of way. The third one is removing iniquity is all about tshuva. It's all about the fact that God cleans up our mess and forgives us. And not only forgives us, but if we do tshuva me'ava, makes our sins actually into mitzvahs. And that's awesome. Okay, so that was, we were actually in the middle of the fourth Midah, where we're translating God's loving kindness to his family to our loving kindness to his family. Ready? Sounds good? Let's do it. Kol Adami Mechavero, Kol Yisrael Hem Shar Basar Elam Elu. We are all flesh, we are all brothers. Mimnei Shanashamas Kluos Yachad. Not so much on a physical level, but on a soul level. On a soul level, we are all one. We all came from oneness in Shemayim. And in the Emes, in reality, we're going back to oneness. Right? This world is just kind of like a little break. We came from the soul world, we're going to the soul world, and we're all one. Okay? We each have a part of each other. Right? We're all, if you understand souls, I can't say I'm a soul understander, but they say that souls are very big. Okay, so you might have a part of this part of the soul, and I might have another part of the soul, but we're all really connected. We all have our missions, our tikkunim, and we're all one. And that's perhaps why, when a lot of people do a mitzvah, it's more powerful, because a lot of souls join together to affect a greater spiritual effect. Okay? I mean, obviously, this idea is, like most of the ideas, it's a Musar Sefer, so I'm sure you've heard these concepts before. But the whole idea is to internalize it. Is there ever a moment when you just feel like we're all one neshama? You guys have moments like that? Have you ever had a moment? So do share. There's a lot of different scenarios there. Singing, mourning, big groups, all being together, come together right now over me, as the Hail of the Beatles said. Very good, yes?
Kind of the same thing, but whenever there's tragedy, everyone's like, it doesn't matter what, like, how religious you are, anything, you're just like,
oh. Yeah. So during the singing and during sad times, that seems to be the consensus, are times when I feel the oneness. I would agree. I think if I can think of a moment in time, it's like Rosh Hashanah at a good singing Karbach Minyan at Kedusha. And everybody's just singing, and you just feel, or maybe Lamancha, whatever it is for you guys. I'm just saying, when you have that moment of like, just you close your bodies and you feel like you're one. You're like in so well. Okay, good. So we're all one. Great. L'kach perish Rabbeinu Zechon Levracha, as our Hilui sages teach us, Alamim Ma'asar Yishonim Yabeit Knesset. If you're one of the 10 first Jews who come to Shul, Afilu Me'ah Ba'ai Mecharav Me'kabal Shachar K'neged Kulam. Even if 100 people came after you, you, your souls created the minyan, and now you're all like one. You get the schar, so to speak, for the whole minyan because all of the souls are linked together in prayer. So some giant, beautiful prayer happened in Shemayim, and then your soul gets credit for that, so to speak. Okay? Mimnesha asarayim klulim eila be'elo harayim eser pamim eser, 10 times 10, and me'ah is 100. Kol echad halom me'ah, imken afilu yavo me'ah, u yesh l'schar me'ah. So even, it's a good trick, get to the first 10. Does that apply to girls? I don't know. Ask your local Kabbalist. You also can get super scarred by being of the first 10. I don't know. If I see any Kabbalists around, I'll ask them. Anyways, what? The first 10 who make a minion, the chayra, are the ones who get schar for the whole minion.
Why is there a Kabbalist not like a Rabbi
Moran left? A Rabbi left might give you an answer, but he might not. He'll give you the answer you want to hear, but I want metaphysical realities here, and so I need some Kabbalists to tell me how it works in the upper world. I happen to be in a good place. There's two Kabbalistic yeshivas in the old city. So maybe I'll stop by. There we go. They tell. So maybe I'll stop by there tomorrow and ask my mystical questions. I'm about 2 minutes. Maybe 1 minute. 1 minute and a half. I'm right there. Amazing. Yes, and I dive in hour-long mystical marvs there. Like once.
There?
Yeah. An hour-long marv. I go to the Western Wall. Yeah. You heard of it?
Yeah.
The Wailing Wall, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
I've also heard of it. Yeah. It's good times. It's good times.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing. All right. And also, this is the concept that all Jews are responsible for each other. Because we're all part of each other. When I see my friend sinning, I'm actually sinning. As we were, if we were more soul-oriented, if we didn't get so obsessed with physicality, we would actually feel pain when we see other Jews sinning because we're really sinning because we're all one. Now, it could be the best way to bring them back is through love. It could be the best way is through a little bit of mussar. You have to ask yourself what's really going to bring people back, but it could be just davening for them. But the ikur is that we're all one. We're all, you know, when they're doing it, I'm really doing it, and that's why we have a responsibility one for another.
Is it literal for all situations like today too? Like if I see somebody, I don't know, smoking a cigarette, like don't do that.
The answer is yes, you are responsible for him, and yes, if my neshama was on a higher level, it would feel pain. The second question is now, what can I do about it? So you have to ask yourself honestly. If me going over to this person and telling him don't smoke, if he's gonna be like, really, smoking's bad? Who would have thunk?
Right.
Throw it away. Then go for it, please. But if instead he's just gonna be like, these seminary girls think they're better than me, then he's gonna actually go farther from Hashem. He's gonna smoke another cigarette because he's so frustrated at all these seminary girls who are giving him mussar. So the answer is we want to get them to get to a higher spiritual place. We just want to get ourselves to get to a higher spiritual place. The second question is, what practically speaking is going to help them grow in the Bodhisattva Hashem? That, yeah, might take some thought and, you know, asking wise people as to how to make that happen. Okay? Cool? But the Iker is the same. We're all responsible. We're all one. We're all connected. Okay? So the Arizal would always make us, before we daven, we have to say, V'afka v'echa kamo. That's what I say. When I wake up in the morning, I sing Modani, and I sing, that's what we were mourning during this period, because first you have to connect your souls to each other, and then when we connect ourselves to each other, we can dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're all really one. The more connected we are to each other, the more our tefillahs go to Shemayim. Yafeh. Okay. And that's why we should also desire the good of the other, because they're really us. It's really the same thing. And I should be happy when I see a friend got a job, and I wanted that job. So naturally, if we didn't know Torah, we would get jealous. And so I wanted that job. I wanted that guy. But we, Baruch Hashem, we have Torah. And that reminds us that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem wanted him to get that. And he didn't want me to get it. It's all for the good. And everyone gets exactly what they need. And not only that, but he's a part of me. He's actually me. So I'm so happy with him. And something, it's a meditation we need to think about. Every wedding and every, you know, it's not so easy, but you know, but it's achievable. I know from not such a high soul, but I know from personal experience. When we think about these things, you really can feel it. I once experienced it was a shidduch that was suggested a long, long, long time ago, and I thought about it for a very long time. And then after like 8 months, I said, okay, I'm interested. This is like I think 15 years ago when I was 20 in Bar Ilan. 21. And right then she said, okay, it's a great idea, but someone else was just suggested to me. I said, okay, let me know what happens. So then like 2 months later, a friend comes up to me and says, I'm engaged. I said, great, mazel tov, to who? He says, to that girl. So like, okay, I guess you know what happened to it in the end. So since he was my friend, he invited me to the wedding. So I went to the wedding. But I remember that wedding very distinctly. I remember, you know, I had some chidushim in that wedding, a lot of insights, but I remember thinking about these concepts, really trying to remind myself it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're all one, and really just, you know, forcing myself to kind of sing and dance and really genuinely be happy for them. It's funny, actually, I hadn't seen them for like 15 years, and like 3 weeks ago for Shabbos, I went somewhere at some random yeshuv with Dina for Shabbos, and they were there, and they invited us for Shalosh Shittis. We have like 8 kids now. And anyway, so it was all from them. It was meant to be. Yeah, mamish. So maybe Hashem waited until I had my wife and my baby until all could kind of closer. Mm-hmm. Who knows what Hashem's brachas kavana is. Anyways, it was a deep moment in my life. So shenizkeh during the hard times. Remember that we're all one. And obviously, if we love someone else, we would never speak badly about them, because we're essentially speaking badly about ourselves. Lashon hatov medaber alai. We want to only speak good. Same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hopefully, doesn't want bad for us. He doesn't want to speak badly about us. And exactly the way that we treat others. If we speak kindly always about others, then Hashem is going to make sure to always speak kindly about us. Right? So that's how we apply this. We never want the pain of someone else. And when there's pain, of course, I should actually try my best to feel their pain. And when there's good, when there's happiness, we should really, really try to feel their happiness. So I'll give you the easy homework and the hard homework for this midah. The easy homework is the next engagement party, the next wedding, the next siyum that your friends have. Instead of being jealous, chas v'shalom, to remind ourselves that we're all one and to really genuinely kind of force ourselves to be happy for them. And you can do it. You can almost get into your brain and turn the happiness button on. And it's an unbelievable thing. I could just bring endless amount of happiness into my life just by reminding myself that we're all brothers and we're all one. The hard homework, that was the easy one. The hard one is when someone does something bad to us. When someone... that seems like it's bad for us, to then remember this midah, that we're all family, that we're all one, And just the same way that my arm would never want to smack my head, because we're all one, to remind myself to have mercy, to have compassion upon them, to not get angry at them. And that tzchus Hashem will also have mercy upon us, and because we had compassion in our family member, so then Hashem's going to have compassion on us. Cool? Clear? Good?
I'm so sorry.
No worries. I don't think so. Oh, but it's some sort of bug.
Not lice, though, right?
Not that I know of.
Oh, I'm
so not. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's all good. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not a lice expert. Last time I saw lice was when I was 7. Lion. Or maybe Google Images. It's okay. It was meant to be. It's from a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
Is this lice? That's not moving anymore.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
It has
a lot of
blood.
Wait, look up our
mind.
No, don't.
Clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing.
Where did the entire
base
go?
Well,
there's a box.
No.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay. It's okay. No worries. It's all from Hashem. Apparently, we need to achieve some sort of tikkun. Meditate. Have a little moment of silence. We'll do an extra minute at the end of the class. Don't worry about it. Nothing to be sorry.
Where'd it go?
Really don't worry.
But I think it's gone.
It's
okay. Well, let's make a decision. So we want to deal with it after class in 30 minutes. We want to deal with it right now. Either way is fine.
It's probably gonna bug her.
Eh?
Yeah, it's not
pun intended. Okay, so Hoobie, go.
Yeah, that's
go.
Funny.
You know. So go take care of it. They'll give you a review share afterwards. Okay. Okay.
Did you think of that, or you're like, oh wait, that works?
It came to me. It was a revelation from her Kaddish Baruch Hu. All good. Tovo, learn for the Refuah Shleima with anyone who needs a tikkun. Okay, you ready for the fifth mida?
Yes.
All right. There's only 13 midas, and we got a few weeks left, so we got to go. We got to keep moving. Let's do it. Mida number 5. Lo hichzik la'arapo. God never maintains anger. He does not, which is interesting. It seems to imply that God, kaviyachol, does get angry. But he doesn't continue to be angry. Now, obviously, we're talking in metaphors here, okay?